Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Geeks and gadgets galore.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Las Vegas becomes a high-tech playground this week. That's where the annual Consumer Electronics Show kicks off. In his traditional keynote last night, Bill Gates announced deals with several big media companies. Microsoft is getting high-def film and TV programs for the Xbox video game console. Tomorrow, voters in New Hampshire get their say in the presidential race. But as Jeremy Hobson reports, candidates pushing economic populism might find it a difficult sell.
Listen to these campaign pitches from some of the leading contenders for the presidency. Here's Democrat John Edwards.
When we speak up against corporate greed and for the 37 million Americans who live in poverty.
And here's Republican Mike Huckabee.
I connected with people on that level, talked about the importance of the middle class, being more inclusive about small business where 80% of our jobs...
Well, that message may have helped each candidate to some degree in Iowa, but New Hampshire has one of the lowest poverty rates in the country. It has one of the highest median incomes, and it's among the lowest in terms of uninsured citizens. Ross Cattell is an economist at the University of New Hampshire.
It's a relatively strong economic state, and some of the economic concerns and fears are not as pronounced here in New Hampshire as they are in other states.
Republican voter Suzanne Spencer of Plainfield says she does care about the little guy, but an economic populist might lose her support because of other issues.
Well, anyone's social platform is very important to me. I mean, I am pro-choice, but I'd have to see.
For Democrat Lori Santora of Bath, economic populism resonates. But she says foreign policy is just as important.
I think the war in Iraq probably has skewed that because we all have to be thinking foreign policy.
Candidates hoping to cash in on economic distress may have an easier time in states like Michigan and South Carolina, but they'll have to get through the New Hampshire primary first. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Are the presidential candidates addressing your concerns? Tell us. Just go to marketplace.org and click on Election 2008. Asian stock markets were down overnight. It was their first chance to react to Friday's sell-off on Wall Street. The market in Taiwan lost 4%. It all comes down to the question of whether the U.S. will slide into recession. Last week's employment report suggested those risks are rising. Stock and currency markets in Kenya's capital of Nairobi are open today. Trading was halted one day last week after violent reaction to results in Kenya's presidential election. For many in Kenya, they could care less about the country's performance in the world economy. They just need food and shelter, as Gretchen Wilson reports.
In just a week, about 250,000 Kenyans have been uprooted by unprecedented riots and ethnic violence. That's 250,000 people who used to make a living as farmers, teachers, or agricultural traders who've seen their homes looted or burned. Thousands of people are sleeping in churches and police stations. Others have fled to neighboring Uganda. The United Nations is rushing to get bags of corn and rice to tens of thousands who face hunger. Medical groups are also scrambling to provide the displaced with mosquito nets to stem malaria, as well as clean water. But transportation is difficult. Gangs have set up roadblocks on major thoroughfares. This is an identity crisis for many Kenyans who found themselves displaced in the most stable country in the region. I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Siemens. From strengthened urban infrastructures to sustainable environmental solutions to advanced healthcare technology, Siemens' 70,000 U.S. employees are providing solutions for America. and by Constellation Energy, working to provide responsible, sustainable energy to power America's future. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Yesterday, property owners along the Texas-Mexico border had a deadline. It was their last chance to respond to an ultimatum from the Department of Homeland Security. Give the government access to your land to build the border fence or risk losing it altogether. From Texas Public Radio in San Antonio, David Martin Davies reports.
Eloisa Tomez traces her family back to the 1700s when the King of Spain granted her ancestors a parcel of land.
That part there used to be where my grandmother lived.
Over the generations, the family sold off most of that land, but Tomez still hangs on to a three-acre plot in Calabos, Texas, a rural community near the southernmost tip of the state and right in the path of the border fence. But Tomez says she's not selling her land to the government or anyone else.
There is no price tag. This is something I want to will to my children and to their children.
Tomez might not have a choice. Last month, the Army Corps of Engineers sent 135 letters to holdout landowners saying they want permission to access their land, survey it, and build the border fence by the end of the year. The government would pay fair market value for the land, and if need be, they would take the land under eminent domain. David Hall, the director of Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid, says some landowners gave their permission, but many, like Tomez, are saying no.
People at the other end of the spectrum say, we don't want to have anything to do with you. We've lived here in this family for 400 years. We're not going to give up anything. We'll fight you tooth and nail.
Hall is representing those holdout landowners against the federal government. He says a problem for the feds will be figuring out who exactly owns the land.
It's what we refer to around here in the legal business as a landman's nightmare.
Hall says some of these properties have never been surveyed. They've never had a title search. They've just been handed down from father to son for hundreds of years outside the legal system.
And the government's got to make sure they're dealing not only with the person in possession, but also whoever's got some claim to this land. It's going to be huge. It's going to be time-consuming. It's complicated.
But will that slow down the border fence? Not likely. Homeland Security can just take the land, begin construction, and worry about the court fights later. In San Antonio, I'm David Martin Davies for Marketplace.
And you can hear all the stories we're covering on the Morning Report podcast. Head to marketplace.org and give it a download for yourself. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.